Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church as we watch and wait for the rebirth of love in the world. Good morning again and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you've joined us, and especially if you braved the rain to be here for the first time or you've just begun attending, thank you for being here. Those of us who are here week in and week out will be looking for folks we don't know. Shake your hand and welcome you. and to express our hope that you will make a home here with us. Of course, a way to make a home in a congregation is by getting involved in what God is doing in that congregation. You can find lots of opportunities listed in your bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up some for you now. This very evening in McWhirter Hall, we'll have our Advent, our annual Advent wreath workshop and dinner at 5:30. This has become a real treat for members of this congregation. Families of various descriptions come together, prepare an Advent wreath that you can then use throughout the season as a reminder of why we are celebrating this season and who we're waiting for. So 5:30 this evening in McWhirter Hall. Also, next Sunday, December 6th at 12:15, you can join the Journey to Bethlehem, again in McWhirter Hall, to have a kind of different experience of the Christmas story. There will be a delicious lunch catered by Martha Stamps, and you'll hear the Christmas story broken down into multiple scenes that you may recognize, but you may not have heard them told exactly this particular way. It is very family-friendly. Children and adults of all ages will enjoy this. You can get more information about this in your bulletin insert. Also, join the Connections class during Sunday morning this morning in McWhirter Hall. And we have our Christians Under Construction class leading our Advent curriculum this year. This is a class especially for those who may not be involved in Sunday school. You can drop into McWhirter Hall, you can drop in one week or another, or you can come to all of them. I think probably during Advent, if you can, you would enjoy being there for each and every one of those classes. That's during Sunday school time, starting today, in McWhirter Hall. Also, this coming Wednesday in the four-story theater from 6 to 7 p.m., you can join Kara Lassen-Oliver and Jenny Youngman as they talk about the books they've written, which are books about helping us as families and families with children slow down and look for God in the midst of our busy lives. And they'll be focusing on the Advent season, of course, and how do we slow down? How do we help our children, our youth, and ourselves experience this holy season? That's this coming Wednesday, 6 to 7, in the Four Story Theater. Also, next Sunday, here in the sanctuary at 4:30, the chancel choir with orchestra will be offering choral music to help you begin your celebration or continue your celebration of Advent and leaning into that celebration of the birth of Jesus. We hope you'll be here next Sunday here in the sanctuary, 4:30. Excuse me, 4:30 p.m. It's my pleasure also to announce that we have a new minister to youth. Emily Capes Robbins will be joining us on January 3rd, and she will be part of the staff leading the youth program. We are very grateful to those who have been involved during this interim, but we are also very happy to welcome Emily. You can read about her in your bulletin insert. And finally, for all of you who are hoping to attend Charge Conference, there is a change. What is in your bulletin is incorrect. The place it will take place is John Wesley United Methodist Church at 901 Benton Avenue. It will be at 2 p.m. We will be meeting with other churches there, but the place is not Edge Hill. It is John Wesley United Methodist, 901 Benton Avenue. Do you remember when you were a kid and you just couldn't wait for something, but you had to? Well, that's what this season is about, isn't it? We just can't wait to get to Christmas. You've already heard the music, haven't you? But we have to. What are we going to do while we're waiting?
We call on Christ, the hope of the world.
The hope of Christ lights our darkness.
We turn to Christ, the sacrifice for the world.
The sacrifice of Christ restores our life.
We rest in Christ, the redemption of the world.
The redemption of Christ.
We of the Upper Room class light this first candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of hope for the coming of Christ into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judea. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judea will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness.
In confession, we acknowledge together the ways that we have turned from the light of Christ. Let us pray. We confess that we are too easily distracted by our own temporary concerns. We embrace pleasures that do not satisfy and nurture helplessness amid our anxieties. In doing, we miss the signs of your presence. Your joy in the gift of love, your hope in the midst of suffering. Teach us to awaken to your arrival in our lives. Transform our frailty by your power, our afflictions by your healing, our failings by your grace. May the grace of Christ, extended freely to all, fill you with the assurance of his love. Now let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, help us to give voice to the wonderful news. You yourself are coming to dwell among us. Quicken our imaginations to find new and creative ways to proclaim Christ's coming. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your hands, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. If there are other youngsters who'd care to join us, come on down. Bring a parent, a grandparent, or friend if you want. That's okay. Well, we have just experienced Thanksgiving, and it won't be too long before we will experience Christmas. And what I think about on almost every holiday is about eating. I don't know about you, but I just ate too much on Thanksgiving, and I expect I will on Christmas. I always do on Easter. But the other thing I think about is when I was a little boy, about the age of many of you, I was an only child, so I didn't have any brothers and sisters. I had to wait for my cousins to come to have somebody to fight with and to play with, too, of course. Well, I would wait and wait at the window thinking, they're never going to get here. They are never going to get here. And it seemed like days. Of course, it was probably just minutes or maybe hours. I would ask my mom, how long is it going to be? She'd say, not long. When are they going to get here? They'll get here when they get here. Well, I knew that. It was like it took forever for them to get to our house so we could play and fight and eat and do all the things that families do on holidays. Well, let me be the first one to wish you a happy new year. That's right. I'm not early, no. This is the first day of the new Christian year, the first Sunday of Advent. And the word Advent is a big fancy word, but it just means the coming of somebody important. Someone who's important to you is coming. Okay? So we're waiting for somebody really, really, really important. And that somebody, of course, is Jesus. But like me, when I was a little boy, while we wait to celebrate Jesus' birth on Christmas Eve, sometimes it's kind of hard. We just can't wait. We want to go ahead and start celebrating Christmas. We want to get to Christmas. And you know what? Most everybody does ahead of time. But what we in the church do that just about nobody else does is to say you always appreciate something you've waited for. And you're always happier to see someone when they arrive if you spend a little time looking forward to their coming. That's exactly what we're doing. Starting today, we are looking forward to celebrating that birth of Jesus. We're going to be telling the stories about Jesus. We're going to be trying our best to look forward to that. Because you know what? That gift of God's love in Jesus is the best gift that any of us will ever receive. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us a time to wait and look forward. A time to watch and be excited. Sometimes it seems like it'll last forever, but we know it won't. We know that you always arrive on time. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming down. In the 40-plus years that I've been a member of this conference, numerous times someone has come up to me and said, "Don't you think this must be the end times? The world has never been in a worse shape than it is today, this very day." And that's been happening for 40 years, and in the church it's been happening for 2,000 years, okay? Because those folks who wrote the Gospels, those folks who appear in the Gospels, including Jesus, those folks who wrote the letters, and of course the writer of the book of Revelation, all believed that God was going to arrive and was going to bring something new to birth. And here we are 20 centuries later, still waiting, still asking, is this the time? Is this the time? When will it happen? Well, I'm going to pose to you an audacious and a somewhat awkward question for the church. That question is, what if Jesus was right? You say, of course Jesus was right. Jesus was right about everything. Well, no. Listen, did you hear? Were you listening to Aaron Reed? This generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Was he right? For 20 centuries, we have been assuming that Jesus got it wrong. That somehow Jesus, in his humanness, limited within history, thought that something was going to happen before it actually was. Heaven and earth will pass away, he says, but my word will not pass away. I want to explore the possibility that Jesus actually got it right. That heaven and earth as he knew it have passed away. The three-storied universe of heaven and earth and the underworld is no longer a part of our consciousness. If it is, it's an archaic and ancient part. We see the universe as this broad, expanding array of planets and galaxies. The world that the people standing around Jesus knew to be true passed away. It's gone. But we're still standing here talking about what Jesus said, aren't we? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What if, instead of this grand spectacular event that we have described as the second coming was something much more modest. And it did happen. Not it will happen, it did happen. And that tree, the fig tree and the other trees that Jesus was talking about as being signs, are us. We are the ones who are supposed to be living out that kingdom that Jesus talked about. Or maybe in our time we should instead call it a kingdom. Some people use that word. A kinship. Because I know we don't have kings in this country. And even those countries that do have kings, they're pretty much figureheads anymore. But we know what it means to be kin, don't we? And in the blood of Jesus Christ, we are all blood kin. So maybe we are to be that fig tree. Maybe we are to be the tree that is the sign that Jesus' words will not pass away. Maybe instead of waiting for something else to happen, we should have been doing what Jesus told us to do all along. Maybe Advent is not so much about simply waiting as it is about participating in what God is doing in the world already today. and that the church is a sign of that. It doesn't matter how many times our conception of the heavens and the earth may change, and one may pass away, and a new one may take its place. The words of Jesus hold true, no matter what those conceptions might be of the heaven and earth. That leads me to a second question. This question, actually, I didn't get from Scripture first. A number of years ago, I met a one-eyed poet named Robert Creeley. And I had known his work previously, and I was particularly taken with one poem. It's a poem entitled Kore. It's about a kind of mythological, legendary female figure. But he ends it with a question, and that question has stuck with me across all these years. I probably met him in my mid-20s. He ends with this question: love, where are you leading me now? That's our theme for Advent. Love, where are you leading us now? If we are not being led by God's love, then what are we being led by? Fear? Mistrust? What if Jesus was right and we are the sign for the world of what it's like for Jesus' words to continue in the world? And what if asking the question, love, where are you leading us now, is the way we figure that out? Because after all, almost every story we will be telling during this season is a response to God's love leading someone somewhere, usually somewhere they didn't want to go. A girl, I'm not even going to say a young woman, a Jewish girl has a stranger appear to her and tell her she's going to have a baby, but she's not married. Let it be with me according to your word, she says. Where is love leading her? Not someplace she intended to go. Certainly not someplace her parents intended for her to go. Not someplace Joseph intended for her to go. Love, where are you leading us now? She goes to visit her kinswoman, Elizabeth. Nobody thought Elizabeth would ever have a child. Even her husband, Zechariah, couldn't believe it, and because of that, couldn't speak for a while. But Elizabeth's baby recognizes the baby that Mary carries, and Elizabeth recognizes the importance of where God's love is leading Mary, and her child is led too. Where is God's love leading John? It leads him out into the wilderness. It leads him into a lifestyle that at the very least is alternative. Right? It leads him to challenge the powers that be within his own denomination, within his own religious structure, to call them brood of vipers, to demand that if they have two coats, give one away. God's love was leading John into a very different place than it led Mary. But God used both of those and continues to use both of those to help us answer that question for ourselves. Where is God leading that refugee family that we call the Holy Family? The family that when they get to Bethlehem can't find anywhere to stay, won't have any place to stay because no one will take them in. There is no room in the inn. And in all of those little dramas where we've cast an innkeeper, there's no innkeeper in the biblical story, by the way. There's just no room in the inn. There is no room anywhere for them. I wonder why we don't pay more attention to that person or persons who actually found a place to take them in, who said, it may be simple and it may be rough, but you can stay here. And when that family become refugees in Egypt and have to leave because there is a wicked king on the throne threatening their lives, does this sound familiar to anybody? Who welcomes them in Egypt? Who teaches them the language? Who finds them a place to stay? Who helps them settle? Gets them started in Egypt so that they can protect the child as he grows until he is old enough to return, until the wicked king is gone? Where was love leading that family? Where was God's love leading the person or persons who took them in Bethlehem? Where was God leading those Egyptians who helped them acculturate and make a home in Egypt until the danger was past and they could return to their own land? Where was God leading those people? Now, we've heard these stories over and over and over and over again. That's one of the wonderful things about the Christian year, is that we get to tell these stories every single year. Why do we do that? Well, first of all, because they're important. And secondly, because we're forgetful. We forget what they're about. We think we've heard them so often that we already know what they're about. But I'm going to ask you this Advent, if you would, as you hear these stories read and sung, I'm going to ask you to raise that question. Actually, both of them. What if Jesus was right? What if Jesus got it right and we are supposed to be the sign of how God leads people through the world? We at West End, a sign to the whole culture, a culture filled with fear of the other, of hatred of the other, in which we can't even talk to each other like human beings. Where is God's love leading us in that? Where are we to be the fig tree, the sign, so that when people look at that tree, look at us, they say, ah, that's what it's like when you are led by God's love, rather than anything else in the world? So what if Jesus was right? And love, where are you leading us now? I don't have that answer, but together I believe that we can find that. And we're going to spend this Advent trying. Thanks be to God. We affirm our faith in lots of ways, and mostly through what we do. But sometimes we use words, and I'll invite you to stand as you're able, turn to number 883 in your hymnal, and we'll borrow some words to affirm our faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God, who has created and is created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to join the congregation for coffee and fellowship. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are to be kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews in a few moments. We invite you to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. The rose on the communion table is to celebrate the birth of Lucas Ezra Donovan, who was born November the 14th to Linda and Daniel Donovan. He is welcomed also by his big brother, Keith. We also today offer our sympathy to the family of Mark, Nancy, Sam, Caroline, and Tucker Deaton, who are mourning the death of Mark's father, Donald Jason Deaton, who died Monday, November the 23rd. A memorial service will be held on Monday, November the 30th at Christ Episcopal Church in Martinsville, Virginia. Prepare our hearts and minds to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of power and glory, we remember your awesome deeds across the ages, the times you saved us and brought us home. Yet we also remember times when we felt alone and afraid. O God, we are your people, the work of your hand. Look upon us with your shining face, especially in the time of need. We pray for those who look to you for healing and hope, those who are sick or recuperating from illness and injury, those who are lonely and need companionship and care, for those for whom the holidays bring sorrow or pain, for those for whose deep sadness overshadows joy. Let your face shine upon us, O God. We pray for people in need of restoration and reconciliation, for those battling addictions and those in recovery, for people estranged from those they love, for someone lost in grief, for someone far from home. Let your face shine upon us, O God, that we might be saved. Renew the spirit of a world grown weary with waiting and hoping. Especially we pray for wars to end, for hunger and poverty to be crowded out by abundance. And we pray too for the church, because we also grow weary in our waiting and watching for your power and glory to be made known. Grant us clarity, passion, and true fellowship, so that we are awake to your presence. Let your face shine upon the church and all this weary world. We pray as we pray in one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to say, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God has enriched our lives in every way. Let us share God's tithes and our offerings with thanksgiving for what we have received.
One last reminder, charge conference, 2 p.m. this afternoon, John Wesley United Methodist Church, 901 Benton Avenue, for those of you who are attending. And now go forth, led by God's love, to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that the God of all love, Jesus Christ, God's love walking among us, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to be led by love, will be with you now and forever. Go in peace.
Peace.